Now, the deadline is coming rapidly upon us if we want to opt out of the My Health Record digital health scheme. This is the process by which the government hopes to have all Australians, or as many as they can, with all their health information on a central digital data bank. More than a million Australians have so far opted out, many of them presumably because of privacy concerns. If you don't opt out, you are in, and the deadline for opting out is November 15. Meanwhile, the government has another digital identity scheme in the works, one that experts say goes every bit as far as the Australia Card plan the Hawke government attempted in the 1980s, and which ultimately crashed, in part because of all the Big Brother rhetoric and concerns the state was in the process of crushing the individual. The new government identity card, if you like, it's not quite a card, it's called the GovPass. Planning is well advanced. And Fergus Hansen from the International Policy Cyber Policy Centre at the Australian Strategic Policy Institute, ASPI, has been taking a good look at it. Fergus joins us now. This snuck up on us a bit, Fergus Hansen. What is GovPass?
Well, GovPass is the answer to this, the digital identity problem, the identity problem that we have in Australia, where it's very hard to prove who you are online with a high degree of confidence. So a bank that wants to know that you are Hugh, has, you know, it's quite difficult for them, besides just your PIN code that you put in maybe on your mobile app, to know that it is definitely you on the other end of that line. So this is a digital identity. It will allow you to prove with a high degree of confidence that you are who you say you are, particularly for online transactions, but also in physical transactions, like, for example, purchasing alcohol. And essentially what it is, it's an app that sits on your mobile phone that where you've validated your identity. So you've taken a photograph of your driver's license, for example, and it's been checked against the corresponding government archive. And if you want to do a high level of confidence check, you can even be a biometric indicator. So you can take a selfie, a photo of your face, and that's checked against a biometric template of your face that's already been built. And that would indicate to a high level of confidence that you are who you say you are.
So is this an entirely voluntary process?
Well, it is entirely voluntary. It's opt-in, but and you'll definitely know that, you know, you have to go through quite a few processes. You know, it's simple, but a few processes to do it. So you would certainly know when you have one. But I'd say what we're headed towards, and what every country is headed towards, is essentially, you know, de facto compulsory, because it's going to become the way that you do everything from online banking to, you know, buying houses to getting your prescriptions to going to the cinema. All of those activities will use this digital identity because it's such a simple way to prove who you say you are. So de facto, it's going to become compulsory, I'd say, fairly soon.
So in saying that, quite plainly, this is not a card whose sole purpose is to identify you to government departments for government services. This is going to be something which will be the way by which you engage across a whole range of commercial activities, just normal life.
Yeah, it's designed initially to help you with identification for buying, for using federal government services, but it has a whole range of commercial applications, and the government is building it with the intention that commercial operators will in fact use it. And the scheme that is already operational, there's one that Australia Post has already built, in fact, it is being commercialised and sold to the private sector already. So you can use it to get into bars in a whole range of different states in Australia. You can use it in the largest credit union in Australia to set up a bank account online without having to go in person and do a 100-point identity check. So the private sort of use cases for this are already well and truly there.
Do you have any concerns about it?
Well, I think one of the biggest concerns is just the process of making people aware that this is happening and making sure that they understand, you know, what's coming down the pipeline, because there's such a strange history in Australia with national identity cards. I think there's a hesitancy and a concern about talking about these things, and I think, you know, the most important thing is to have a public discussion about this, particularly because it has so many potential second and third order consequences, and because it is going to be such a big change to the way that we go about our lives. I mean, there's other things as well, I think, that we need to consider having legislation to govern this, because there are so many second and third order consequences that haven't necessarily been, you know, fully thought through, that legislation, I think, is needed to prevent some of the negative consequences that could come from a scheme.
Okay.
And well, I think we need to look at...
Well, let's get to some of those negative consequences. The obvious one is privacy breaches, getting hacked. Presumably, this will be as safe or as vulnerable as the protections around that.
Well, one thing that this... I mean, one good thing about this scheme is that it's not a honeypot of data. So everything that you do isn't sort of stored in some sort of central pot. The framework that the government has come up for this new scheme is essentially just a portal, really, where you are confirming your identity in a one-off process. So it's not, you aren't, there's no sort of central repository that says, you know, this is every single thing that you've done and these are all of your, you know, your complete history with it, with everything in your life. So there's not that sort of potential to sort of hack that and steal a huge amount of your personal information. What there is the potential for is to start for people to build, to do profile building. So somebody that has confirmed your identity then knows with a high degree of confidence that you are who you say you are. And it's different between the two government schemes, the amount that they can confirm about you, but then to sort of build a profile about you. So how much alcohol did you buy? Where exactly did you buy it? You know, what other things did you look at in the shop? And then that information is potentially valuable to other people. So your health insurer might want to know about that, or the Department of Human Services might want to have that information. And so then you've got this opportunity for exchanges to develop where that kind of information can be sold.
So it may discover, for example, that you do buy cigarettes, and your health insurer might be interested to know that, and so that therefore that becomes a piece of information that can be sold because it has value to a health insurer.
Exactly. And so this is the type of thing that I think we need to prohibit. So there's already profile building going on in Australia. You've got loyalty cards for lots of different companies, but it's not to a high level of confidence. So it's you can sort of sign up for a loyalty card where you get a strip. It's not necessarily, you know, the person who says they are who they say they are. It's not necessarily the actual person. You can do it with a degree of anonymity. With digital identity, it will be a high level of confidence, and so therefore it will enable these exchanges potentially where you can, you know, sell attributes about different people. And that's, I think, something that we really need to make sure doesn't happen.
And very briefly, November the 15th, the deadline for opting out of the My Health Record. Would you be opting in or out?
I think it really depends on... I think it really depends on your assessment of, you know, where you are in your life. If I think the vulnerability of these databases, I think they're very likely to be hacked. We've seen, for example, in Singapore, you know, that puts a lot of defences around these sort of things and takes cybersecurity very seriously as a government. Their government database was hacked. The Prime Minister's health records were stolen. These are very attractive records for states and for cyber criminals. So I think, you know, there's certainly a very high risk there that they would be compromised. And you can't necessarily tell how your information will be used. If you're not intending to work for the federal government, you probably don't need to worry too much about being, you know, it being used as a security risk against you. But it also has, you know, potentially some commercial applications as well. And there you might be a little bit concerned, but I think it's sort of a weighing up a balance of the convenience and the health benefits this will provide versus the security risks as well.
Okay. Fergus Hanson, head of the International Cyber Policy Centre at the Australian Strategic Policy Institute, ASPI. Thank you for those insights today.
Thank you very much, Hugh.